This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham. I'm joined by Scott German, and we're going to talk some UVA football towards the end. We'll talk some UVA basketball with hoops getting ready to tip off tomorrow night. We're recording this on Thursday. Big sports weekend coming up for UVA sports. And Scott, let's start with football. The Cavs coming off that big win last week at home against Georgia Tech. A game with Louisville. You were there last year for the game UVA and Louisville in Charlottesville. A really bad UVA team that had Louisville on the ropes with a lead in the last couple of minutes of that game. A surprise performance by that UVA team. Do you think maybe that there's some good, even though the Virginia lost that game, the people on the sidelines, the coaches may have some confidence heading into the weekend as a result of how well they played last season?
Well, they not only played well last season, but if you remember correctly, they didn't really that poorly the last time they played in Louisville. And also, I believe the last time they played in Charlottesville, Virginia won.
Yes.
So, you know, there's something about Louisville that really doesn't, you know, bring a lot of it's not something that UVA has any trouble with. I mean, they played Louisville pretty well last year and beat them the year before. So, I don't think it's something that's that overly intimidating to Virginia to go on the road and play Louisville now.
Yeah, the game 2 years ago down in Louisville, the Cavs lost 38-31 in the game in the fourth quarter, had a chance, a drive in the last couple of minutes that fizzled out in Louisville territory. Of course, the game last year, a 29-yard touchdown pass from Lamar Jackson, and with about a minute to go, they gave Louisville that win. But you mentioned, too, Scott, 2014, Virginia, the first time that these two teams played as ACC members, Virginia won that game in Charlottesville. I think the final on that one was 24-21, something like that, a three-point win for the Cavs in that one. So, yeah, this is a Virginia team that probably does feel like they can play well with this Louisville team. And, you know, it's odd. Virginia's a nine-point underdog going into this game on the road in Louisville. Louisville's 5-4 overall, 2-4 in the ACC, last place in the Atlantic Division. Now, of course, they've got the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, Lamar Jackson, who's putting up huge numbers, leading the ACC in passing yards and in rushing yards. He's accounted for 32 touchdowns. But their defense is a sieve. They give up a lot of yards defensively. Their opponents can really score with them. I guess we can presume this will be a high-scoring game on Saturday.
Well, and they've had some injury problems, and just reading some local papers about Louisville, reading the local Louisville paper, Louisville Journal, they're expecting some of those players, some of their key players that have missed some games the last couple of games, possibly to be back. So it looks as though they're trending in the right direction as far as getting some key players back. So, you know, it may be a different looking Louisville defense out on the field Saturday than what they put out on the field the last few games.
It would have to be their defense. When you look at the numbers for this Louisville team defensively, they're at or near the bottom of the ACC in really every category that you can. You know, that of significance, pass defense particularly. And I think that's the area where they may be the most vulnerable. This UVA team, of course, Kurt Binkert, you know, unless you look at stats regularly like guys like Scott and I do, you maybe wouldn't have noticed this. But Kurt Binkert actually leads the ACC in touchdown passes, 20 touchdown passes this season for Kurt. And going up against a defense that, again, gives up a lot of yards through the air, 11th in the ACC in yards passing yards per game, also 14th in the ACC in pass defense efficiency. So it's a team that is really struggling on that side of the ball. Getting some guys back might be helpful as far as that goes. We know, though, what Louisville can do on offense. Lamar Jackson, of course, the Heisman Trophy winner from last year, back this season. Again, I mentioned the numbers he's putting up. This Louisville team leads the ACC in total offense, over 550 yards a game. And no matter what, you know they're going to move the ball. They're going to score points. That kind of puts pressure on Virginia. Virginia's got to go out there. They know, Kurt Binkert and that offense knows, that every time they have a drive that doesn't end in points, you know, they're losing. You know, it's kind of like a basketball game. If the other team scores, you got to score two. You know, you only get so many possessions in a game, and if we punt the ball, turn the ball over, That's pressure. So that puts pressure on offense to have to keep up with an offense as good as Louisville's.
And you know, there's an intangible factor. I'm just wondering if or how much it plays that for the past few seasons, this late into the year, 10th game into the season, Louisville has been playing for a lot higher stakes. You know, New Year's Day bowls. I think one year they were knocking on the door at some point in the season, maybe being in the talk of the Final Four of football, so to speak. That's not going to happen for Louisville. I mean, at best, they're going to go to a mid-level bowl game, which is for Virginia football, that would be a phenomenal accomplishment. But for Louisville, you know, that's not the standard. That's not where the bar has been the last few years. So I wonder if all that plays into the psyche of the players, and that they may just not be playing, you know, may not be playing up to a high level as far as intensity. I'm not saying they were just playing out the string, but you know that it's got to be kind of a bummer to be into the 10th game of the season and just, you know, 5-4 as you said, last place in the conference.
Yeah, you know, I remember being at the ACC football kickoff in Charlotte way back in July. And this Louisville team comes into this season. I mean, you got the Heisman Trophy winner. When you're at the ACC kickoff, you know, there's two trophies right there in the media room. There's the national championship trophy from Clemson. You got the Heisman Trophy of Lamar Jackson. And, you know, you know that Bobby Petrino was there. Lamar Jackson was there. You know, they're not thinking, hey, we're going to go 9-4 again. You know, we're going to play in some, you know, late December game. They're thinking, we got the Heisman Trophy guy here. We make a couple of tweaks to what we do, and we're going to be playing. We might be in that playoff. We're going to be in one of those, you know, New Year's Day games, if not in the playoff. And you're 5-4 right now. You know, you got blown out at home by Clemson. That kind of set the tone for the season. That was an early September game that, you know, really set the tone in a bad way for Louisville this season. I think you're right, Scott. You know, they're not bowl eligible yet, but, you know, this is a team with that had a lot higher expectations, certainly, than what they've got now. Whereas you're on the other side of the ball, a Virginia team at that same ACC football kickoff, you had Bronco Mendenhall saying, hey, I don't know, this might take a couple more years to get the rebuild going, you know, et cetera. They were voted seventh and last in the Coastal Division by the writers, including guys like me. And now you got 6 wins. You're already bowl eligible. And, you know, you're playing – you said this earlier on our podcast on Monday, Scott. We're playing with house money if you're Virginia. So two teams coming in with far different mental approaches, yeah, you do have to wonder how that plays out on the field on Saturday.
You know, we're not following Louisville as close as we do UVA, obviously, but we do know that Louisville's had some injury situations this year. But just on record alone, this is a matchup between probably the most overachieving team in the conference this year with Virginia and possibly the least achieving team in Louisville. So yeah, that's the beauty of college football. You just don't know what you're going to get on Saturday to Saturday. And of course, unless you might be Alabama or a school like that, where you pretty much know what you're going to put out there. But I'm very optimistic that Virginia is going to go down and or go out to Louisville and play a solid game. And I would not be shocked at all if we don't come back with win number 7.
I'll give a couple of keys to the game. I put these in my game preview earlier this week, but I think it bears going over here in the podcast real quick. Discipline on D for Virginia. You know Lamar Jackson is dangerous through the air. He's thrown for 2,800 yards. He's dangerous with his feet. He's run for over 1,000 yards already this season, 14 touchdowns on the ground. And so it's almost like, all right, yeah, you want to put pressure on the quarterback. He can be susceptible to that, just like any quarterback can, but – it's going to be really important for especially defensive linemen and the edge linebackers providing pass rush to stay in their lanes. You know, if the pass rush breaks down and Jackson's able to get outside the pocket, he's more dangerous outside the pocket, I think, than he is inside the pocket. So I think if you're Virginia, you kind of want him to stay in the pocket. And so that's going to be key, you know, just having that discipline on defense to put pressure but put it the right way. I think part of that, another key, But related to that, Key, is Micah Kizer's health. Now, Micah Kizer, 18 tackles in the win over Georgia Tech last week, but Bronco Mendenhall said after the game that Kizer was nowhere near his best health. He's dealing with a couple of leg injuries. Didn't really go into detail about what in terms of, you know, exact nature of leg injuries, but he also said that if Micah was to run a 40-yard dash right now for the pro scouts, he wouldn't be anywhere near his best. But he's out there on the field making the plays. That said, Kizer as the middle linebacker is going to be sort of the key as a guy who, you know, when you play a quarterback like a Lamar Jackson, you know, you'll often assign a guy to be sort of the spy. If Jackson drops back to pass, you know, your middle linebacker will sort of run on the side of the field that he's on and try to keep him from getting away. Kizer's health is going to be really important. As if he can keep up with Jackson, he can keep him in check. I'd say the last key for Virginia is moving the chains. You know, as of three games ago, Virginia was one of the best offenses in the country, third down efficiency-wise. But in the last three, including the win over Georgia Tech, not so good on third downs. Virginia just 4 of 17 on third downs last week, three of those leading to short field goals. Virginia's going to need to finish those drives out. We talked about how you know, Louisville puts a lot of points on the board. Virginia, every time they kick a field goal, they're leaving 4 points on the field. So I'd say discipline on D, Micah Kizer's health, finishing out third downs, getting, you know, converting third downs, getting more first downs. Those are going to be three keys for Virginia heading into Saturday.
I'll break it down into a much more simplistic observation. We need a good Ben Kirk as opposed to a bad Ben Kirk to show up Saturday. If offensive line holds up, like you said, and he's got time back there in the pocket, then, you know, the sky's the limit as far as not just Saturday, but for the rest of the season. But if things resort back to the way things were looking against D.C., against Pitt, it could be a long afternoon. You just don't, you know, we're just, with Ben Kirk, you just don't know what you're going to get from game to game. And I guess at this point in the season, that's what you just have to come to grips with.
So the game is 3:30 on Saturday, and Scott and I will, of course, get together afterwards. We'll break the game down for you. We'll have a game recap and other things as well on AugustaFreePress.com. I've also got my duty with VMI on Saturday, 1:30 kickoff as VMI hosts the Citadel in their season finale. So I'm kind of doing double duty this weekend. I'm also, I guess you can say triple duty, because I'll throw this out now. We'll talk a little bit of basketball real quick. Tomorrow night, Friday night, UVA basketball gets started. The tip-off with UNC Greensboro, 7 o'clock tip at JPJ. I'll be there. My wife, Crystal Grant, will be joining me courtside, and we'll be bringing you coverage of that game and, of course, the postgame as well. But, wow, it's basketball season. It's upon us here, and this is a fun time of year, especially now. Gosh, Scott, it's been so long for us where we've actually still been following football. When basketball starts, we've had to almost make ourselves follow football the last several years as basketball started, because basketball, of course, with the program being so successful the last few years and football not, but we got to have one eye on basketball, one on football, with a team that is not getting the national love that it should be getting, the Virginia basketball team, but a team that guys like Scott and I, who follow the program closely, think could be a Final Four contender this year. So, Scott, exciting times. Got basketball getting ready to tip off Friday night.
It is. And, you know, as much optimism as we have about UVA basketball, boy, there are a lot of questions, a lot of question marks. And, you know, we're going to find out a little. We're not going to find out a lot because, UNC Greensboro is, let's face it, not an ACC-caliber team, but they're coming into JPJ, and they're going to want to represent their conference. I think they play in this. Is it the Southern Conference?
Yeah, the Southern, yes.
So, you know, it's their chance to play on a big stage. So I'm sure if UVA is going to get their best effort. But a lot of question marks. I was just thinking about the last game, and this is how things quickly change in college basketball from season to season. The last game that UVA won, which was the opening game in the NCAA tournament, I guess it was against UNC Wilmington, right?
That's right.
Virginia started a, well, at most and a lot of points in that game, UVA had a five-guard lineup out there.
Yes.
I don't think we're going to see that, which brings me to the question is where is the interior scoring going to come from? Now, granted, Wilkins was not healthy in the tournament. He was out with some type of an illness, viral illness, and played but not effective. Who is going to step up and give UVA that interior scoring presence that they need out there, so they don't rely, so they just don't become a jump shot shooting team? So that's one of the questions I'm going to be very interested in, to see how it plays out, especially early in the season.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see. You know, Jay Huff may be a guy who scores as a guy listed as a four or five, you know, a power forward or center in this lineup. I'm not sure a lot of his points will come in the paint necessarily, but then also, how does Jay Huff play? How does DeAndre Hunter, another redshirt freshman and making his debut tomorrow night, play? What do we see out of Ty Jerome and Kyle Guy in the backcourt alongside of Devin Hall? You know, the return of Isaiah Wilkins, as you mentioned, you know, last few weeks of the season last year, he was not healthy. So we'll see Isaiah back at full strength ostensibly going into the game, and you know, how many players are in the rotation for Virginia? Lots of questions. And yeah, we won't get the definitive answers tomorrow night, but we'll start seeing this team, you know, start building towards January. That's where the focus is. You know, you got some tough games in the pre-conference schedule. You've got a game with Vanderbilt in New York in a couple of weeks. You've got Wisconsin coming to Charlottesville as part of the Big Ten ACC Challenge. You're on the road at West Virginia in December. VCU here coming up, actually, before any of that starts. That's next week, actually, in Richmond. And then ACC starts. You know, you got Carolina early in the ACC schedule. So, but, you know, I think what I would caution Virginia fans listening to this is be patient. There may be a loss or two that you wouldn't expect out of a Virginia team early, you know, in the pre-conference schedule. This is a young team. They may not be consistent from night to night. But I will tell you, I really think this. You'll hear me say this a lot, you know, probably until mid-March or late March, hopefully. I think this Virginia team is going to be a team that will play deep into March. Just give them some time. I'll bring up 2013-2014 as the example yet again. That team on December 31st was 9-4, coming off a horrible loss at Tennessee. A lot of us were ready to throw in the towel on that season after that, you know, just awful game at Tennessee. That team won the ACC and got to the Sweet 16, the first of the great, you know, Virginia teams of the recent era. I think this Virginia team may have some blips early, just like that team did. That team had a freshman point guard, London Parentes. This team has a couple of sophomore guards who will lead the way in Guy and Jerome. So growing pains. I'm expecting some growing pains, but I also expect that by the time the ACC starts, this team's going to be pretty good.
I agree, and it's going to be interesting. A lot of new faces. I am particularly interested in just seeing how effective and how much he's going to live up to the preseason hype that Jay Huff is going to deliver. I mean, he's checking in 7'1", 230 pounds. I mean, he can step out, hit threes, put the ball on the floor. I mean, this is something that we haven't seen in a long time, a really effective big man. So, I mean, he's got tremendous expectations. How long do you think it's going to be before he cracks the starting lineup?
Yeah, that will be a question. You know, I it will not surprise me tomorrow night if Jack Salt is still the five in this starting lineup tomorrow night. But, yeah, how quickly can Jay Huff demonstrate, particularly on defense, his ability to pick up the pack line? I think as he gets more and more confident in his defensive abilities and his rotations, his reads at the back end of the pack line, that's when he will he'll start to take over those starters' minutes. And you know, sooner rather than later, I'm sure a lot of UVA fans are probably thinking. That's one of the reasons I counsel patience. You know, Scott and I have been around the program for many, many years. It's not that long ago that Anthony Gill, who was one of the better UVA players in recent memory, he had a redshirt year just like Jay Huff had last year. It still took him until late January, early February of the year that he started playing, his second year at UVA, first year on the court, before he really picked up the pack line. So, you know, patience, because we may need to exercise more of that. But once Gil picked it up, you might remember, after he was a beast in February and March of that year, that 2013-2014 season again that I keep talking about. And so, you know, his ability to pick it up, DeAndre Hunter, the guard who redshirted last year, another guy that the NBA scouts are drooling over, you know, he's going to have to earn his time as well with his defense. We'll have to see Kyle Guy. Actually, Kyle Guy even playing last year. We saw Kyle Guy's minutes go anywhere from 4 or 5 in some games all the way to 30-35 in some games. We'll want to see more consistency out of Kyle. And, again, his minutes will be determined as much by his defense as his offense. So, yeah, there's a lot of questions. Tomorrow night we get the first set of answers, the first of many sets of answers with this team. And looking forward to getting it all started. So, tomorrow night, UVA basketball. Saturday, UVA football. We're back Monday with more UVA basketball. Boy, there's a lot going on this weekend. I'll sign off for us for now. Scott German, I'm Chris Graham. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.